Happy Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. It's been all right so far, isn't it? Good stuff. So what we're going to do this morning for this part is we're going to look at some resurrection appearances of Jesus as recorded in the Bible, in the New Testament. Probably going to be some chocolate as well. Is that all right? Sure? Can I twist your arm? So to help us do that, there's going to be a kind of a treasure hunt. Okay. And so can I ask any kids to come up the front? Now, if you class yourself a kid, you can come up. If you want to sit down around this table. Oh, does he? Right, so before we start the treasure hunt, I want you to listen to me first so I can explain what's going to happen. Right, I've hidden 10 envelopes, okay, and they look like this. So how many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, so if you can go try and get one each and you can help each other find them, okay, so it's like a bit of a teamwork. And so those envelopes are in the youth hall. Okay? So I want you to go and get one of the envelopes each and then come back, and then we might open these. Depends if you can find them, because you might not be able to find them. I might have hidden them so well.
I saw one.
You saw one already? Wow. That doesn't surprise me, David. I'm surprised you haven't already brought it to me, so, because you're awesome, that's why. Someone else found one as well.
I've seen one.
You've seen, my gosh, you can't hide anything from this, look. Okay, so why don't, if you're a kids' church leader or a parent or anyone else, if you want to go into the youth hall and see if you can get 10 envelopes for me, and then come back. And while they're doing that, unless any adults want to go as well, you can go and help them. But if you want to go and do that, why don't you just turn to your neighbour and say hello, happy Easter. Ready? Wow. It's got number one, number two. They found two already. Number six. Well done. I was expecting you to talk a bit more for this bit, you know. Seven left. So you've got enough talking for seven. That's it, David. Bring them in, mate. Yeah. What number is it? If you see on the corner, it should say. Number three. Well done. You're thinking about these, aren't you? Do you want to carry on, go and help, see if you can find some more? I hope I haven't hidden them too well. Yes, we've got 1, 2, 6, and 3, so we've got 4. Yeah. Well, I really did hide them well. I thought they'd be done by now. So I don't know who's behind the desk. If you could put a slide up. I should have a slide about each of the resurrection appearances of Jesus. So maybe take a look at those. There we go. Oh, there's more here. Well done. Well done, you. Let's give them a round of applause. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's 5? Yeah. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You found all of them. Well done. Okay, so, do you remember who found number one? No. Who wants to volunteer to open number one? Would you like to open that envelope? Let's see what's inside. So this is resurrection appearance number one from Jesus. So we're going to read about these. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would apply your word to our hearts as we read. Okay, so this is from the Bible, Jesus' resurrection appearance number one. Now, this is the longest one. Would anyone like to volunteer to... Oh, yes. Super reader. Do you want to give that a read?
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went unto the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth that was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Fantastic reading. So that was the appearance number one. According to the Bible, when you look at the order, many people believe that was the first appearance of Jesus, appearing to a lady called Mary Magdalene on this day, all those years ago, Easter Sunday. So who wants to open number two? You want to open number two? So this is resurrection appearance number two. So we've had Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday. Number two is going to tell us about how the resurrected Lord Jesus appears to a group of women, well done, who clasp his feet and they worship him. Okay? So who wants to read this one? Yeah.
Mother Mary went to look at the tomb, where there was a violent earthquake from an angel of the Lord came down from the heaven and going to the tomb, rocked back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who..." "Crucified. He is not there. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly to tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he is... going to ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to Galilee. There you will see me.
Fantastic reading there. Appearance number two. So Mary Magdalene had her own individual appearance from Jesus. And now the other women are seeing him that have been following him. And they've experienced seeing the resurrected Jesus. They've spoken to him, they've seen him, and they've actually touched him. And so, number three, who wants to open number three? Go for it. So number three, the resurrected Lord Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And that's on Easter Sunday as well, on this day. So let's read about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So they're walking with Jesus on this road, and they don't recognize him. And they only recognize him when they take communion, which is kind of cool, isn't it? Who wants to read this one? Do you want to read another one?
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?
Well done. So he actually taught them from the scriptures about how he was the Messiah and needed to die, which is kind of cool. So what I want someone to do, can someone go and find a volunteer from out there and they can read it as well? Would you like to go and find a volunteer?
They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
And four, we actually appear to be out of a lot of details of Jesus' appearance to Peter, but the Apostle Paul actually says, "For I received, I passed unto you, it's very important, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter." So again, we don't have much details about that, but we can know that that was probably an important appearance, because Peter had denied Jesus. Do you remember that story? And Jesus had appeared to him in a special way. And I think that he was coming to heal him and to restore their relationship. So does someone want to find a volunteer for number five? Go on, Matthew.
Resurrection appearance number five, disciples, Easter Sunday. Luke 24:36-49. Wait a minute, I need my glasses. One minute. The writing's gone smaller. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the psalms." Then I opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Well done, great reading. So that was number five. He appears to his disciples. Kind of special as well, because he just appeared in the midst of them. So while he had a physical resurrection, there's supernatural dimensions to his resurrected body, which is kind of cool, isn't it? So number six, who wants to find a volunteer for number six?
Resurrection appearance number six, disciples with Thomas, a week after Easter Sunday, from John. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Mm-hmm. Jesus appeared to his disciples on Easter Sunday, and then a week after Easter Sunday, he appeared to his disciples, and Thomas was there, because Thomas was a bit upset, because Jesus has appeared to all the disciples except him. Have you ever felt left out about anything? Yeah, so that Thomas felt left out, I think. So Jesus came back, and he appears in exactly the same way, and he appears to Thomas, and Thomas believes. So that's kind of a cool little story. Who wants to find a volunteer for number 7?
Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of the Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter,
Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with the fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but not even with so many the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
So he made breakfast for them. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus had appeared, but then there was a bit of a space. So all the disciples went all the way back up to Galilee because they hadn't seen their family for a while. And they're probably thinking, "We need to earn some money because the whole ministry thing's changed." And so they started fishing. And then Jesus turns up, the resurrected Jesus turns up on the shore. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Jesus loves breakfast. Okay, number 8. Do you want to find a volunteer for number 8?
Resurrection appearance number 8. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Well read. So that's appearance number 8. So he appears to the disciples and a crowd. So quite often people call that the Great Commission. And it is the Great Commission, but it's also a resurrection appearance. And when he shows himself, he tells the apostles to go and preach and make disciples and baptize and go to all the nations. And many scholars believe that when the Apostle Paul says that he appeared to 500 witnesses, it was actually at that time, because he appeared on the mount, probably the same mountain where he gave the Beatitudes. And so it wasn't just the disciples there, it was probably hundreds of people there as well. So that's part of the witnesses that experienced his actual resurrection. Okay, so we're near the end. Who's good at maths? We've got two left. Number 9, resurrection appearance number 9. Do you want to find a, Sophie, you go and find a volunteer.
After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James.
That was another appearance to a guy called James. Now, we don't know too much about that. We aren't actually 100% sure which James it was, but most people think it's the half-brother of Jesus, and we find more about him in the book of Acts. So number 10, resurrection appearance number 10. Who hasn't done a volunteer yet? Go and find a volunteer, David.
On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them a command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth."
So that was resurrection appearance number 10. He appears to his disciples and then tells them to wait in Jerusalem a little bit later. And then after this command, Jesus goes up to heaven and then eventually pours his Holy Spirit out on the disciples. And he actually continues to pour out his Spirit to this day. So they're the 10 resurrection appearances, specific ones we've got recorded. There may have been other ones. There could have been other ones, because it says later in Acts, he appeared to people over a period of 40 days, which could have meant many more appearances. But these are the 10 specific ones recorded for us. So I just want to congratulate you on your self-control up here, because I opened the chocolate before we even started reading the Bible, and they're all still here. So I'm wondering if the Spirit is at work here, because it says in the Bible it's a spirit of self-control. So I'm just thinking that the Holy Spirit is working. But what I want to do is just say two things about all those resurrection appearances. We can obviously say so much, and obviously when you read the Word of God, God actually does work in your heart himself. But I just want to bring two things out from all these, okay? And then we might dip into that wonderful bag there. So the first thing I want to say is about female discipleship. So the female discipleship. And the second thing I want to say is about the physical nature of the resurrection. The physical nature of the resurrection. So with female discipleship, the opportunity and responsibility of being the first to see the risen Christ was granted to this humble female disciple in Mary Magdalene, and then to a group of women. Now, in those days, thankfully things are a bit different now, but in those days the testimony of women was ignored, which just sounds weird, doesn't it? And that God would grant the first resurrection appearance to a humble female disciple shows that the living God fully affirms and fully endorses female testimony and female discipleship. And I think that's really powerful. And these women, actually, if you look at what was happening at the time, they showed lots of courage and devotion to turn up at that tomb on Easter Sunday, because they were actually still in danger for being associated with Jesus. And they would have known there were guards at the tomb, because you actually read in the Bible that they're watching things from afar. And they'd been through this horrible experience of seeing Jesus die on the cross, and yet they still came to the tomb. They loved him so much, and they showed great courage. And the second thing I want to say is, as we've read through these records of his appearances, you can't help but notice the physical nature of his resurrection. And the biblical teaching on the resurrection of the body is about the physical body. So why don't you just touch your shoulders there? That's your body, right? That's your physical body. And there's a physical nature to this resurrection. And it's not primarily about the soul. The soul is your mind, your will and emotions. And the resurrection is not about strange mystical experiences or hallucinations. But it's actually about something physical happening. So Jesus' body was really dead. He really died. And now after the resurrection, his body is now alive. And so when we look at these appearances, we can see the physical nature of it. And his resurrection body, as we mentioned, has these strange supernatural qualities and dimensions to it, because he went through walls. That's kind of weird, isn't it? I don't know if you ever tried to walk through a wall. Have you ever tried to walk through a wall? I have metaphorically before, but I think that that's going to be quite difficult. But Jesus' resurrection body has got these supernatural dimensions to it. But people have spoken to him. They've seen him. They've touched him. They've grabbed his feet. And they've worshipped him. And they saw the physical marks and scars that he endured. Jesus asked them if they had anything to eat. And he brought them fish. They brought him fish and they watched him eat it. And all the gospel writers, they make this point again and again. The physical resurrection. But why are we making this point about a physical resurrection? The Apostle Paul says, who met Jesus in a special way, like many of us, he says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So Jesus was the first example of resurrection power coming to the human race in this way. And Paul teaches that those in Christ, those that believe in Jesus, will experience physical resurrection too, because of what Jesus has done. As a result of Christ's resurrection, those in Christ will be raised as well. And so what happened to Jesus is going to happen to us. So his body died, and his body was raised to life. And unless Jesus comes back beforehand, our bodies are going to die. But our bodies will be raised again in physical resurrection. And that's going to happen at his return in fullness. The New Testament teaches that the resurrection of our bodies into our bodies that will never decay, that's going to happen when Jesus returns at the second coming. Isn't that amazing? And so while we still do have to walk through some really hard times, that's why the heart of a Christian is for Jesus to come back. Because when Jesus comes back, he gets rid of all the horrible stuff, the darkness, the death. Has anyone ever had a blocked nose? Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Have you ever had a blocked nose on one side? And then you sleep on that side and then it empties out there and you swap out. Is that just me? Has that happened before too? I don't think that's going to happen in my resurrection body. So that's one thing. Isn't that awesome? So I'm going to close us in prayer. Okay, and we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and fill us. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is the Spirit of Jesus. Because, you know, we're reading about stories that happened a long time ago. You know, that Jesus is alive now. So, Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Jesus, you are alive. And you did rise a long time ago, Lord, but you ascended and you poured out your Spirit on us and caused us to be born again. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would cause miracles in hearts this morning to be born again. Lord, we depend on you for everything. And Jesus, we thank you that you are with us through the dark valleys. You will never leave nor forsake us. And Lord, you have a plan. And even though there are times when we can't always see it, we trust you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to trust you. And so I pray your Spirit would continue to work in our hearts and bring salvation to our hearts and transformation. We thank you, Jesus, you're alive. Amen. Okay, so who wants one of those? I brought the chocolate out and everyone starts clapping. Yeah, so why don't you go and share those around? And I'll just, you better hurry up because you're going to sing again in a minute. Okay, so before we have our last song, as Steve's already mentioned, we've got tea and coffee next door. We're going to sing a song called Blessed Be Your Name. And this is by the Fluffs again. Did everybody get a sweet? If you want to go and hand them out to anyone until the bag's empty. So should we give the Fluffs a bit more encouragement as well? We've got Micah here, we've got Judah here, we've got Sophie, we've got Hannah, we've got Trinity, and we've got Matthew. So let's stand and let's sing, Blessed Be Your Name. So Lord, as we continue to worship you, we pray, Lord, you would help us experience you as we bless your name through the ups and the downs. And that you'd fill us with your Spirit, Lord, as we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. would be your name. Blessed be your name, alone the martyr suffering, the pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out on, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, till I will stay. Be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory, Lord. Blessed be your name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You can make a way. You cannot take away. You come through today. Whatever be your name. Give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Came of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Be the name of the Lord, blessed be the glory. Be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Take away, you give and take away. The heart
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the risen Christ. We thank you that all for all the things we've learned today. And I just pray, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Have a great day.